There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Another couple hours of live local talk. And, of course, you're a big part of the show. If you haven't gotten the phone number and the text line down by now, we'll do it again. We'll keep doing it. Going forward, 343-0106. 343-0106. Also, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can leave us one of those talk back messages. So at least three right there off the, you know, call, text, talk back message. And if you have something you don't need instant reaction to, because some people say, I emailed you during the show. I'm like, yeah, sometimes I don't catch that so until afterwards. But it's Sean, S-E-A-N, at FMTalk1065.com. All right. Now it's amazing to look at the remnants. You have the remnants of Helene and this upper low that Dr. Bill had been talking about combining. But it looks like there's remnants in Florida, there's Georgia, parts of Alabama, parts of Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Indiana. There is rain. If you look at, it's amazing. This thing was out in the Gulf, as we were talking about it yesterday, out in the Gulf, and now it has combined with another, it's not all Helene, it combined with another weather system, but you've got rain and associated winds and all that. Over what? I mean, somebody's going to correct me. Is 25% of the country? A quarter of the country? You know, in landmass? Pretty amazing as it continues up there. All right. We'll kind of go through some of the news coming in. And, of course, there's new information coming in all the time out of the areas that are just now getting people back in there. Big bunch of areas without power, without communications. But here's what we have. This is from the Weather Channel now reporting at least 20 deaths connected to Helene. Earlier today this morning we're talking about the one, I guess, from yesterday in Ybor City, which is a Tampa area, which somebody had a sign fall on their vehicle. Then you had a couple in Georgia, but now this has come up quite a bit. Weather Channel reporting at least 20 people dead after Hurricane Helene made landfall, moved inland with high winds and heavy rainfall. The deaths include now 11 in Georgia, 7 in Florida, 2 in North Carolina. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp confirmed 11 deaths in the state. Kemp said one was a first responder, so I guess somebody there helping. Let's see. I hope that's it. You know, it's tragic as it is now, but I have a feeling as they start getting into areas that are most, you know, most affected by the storm, we'll be getting more information out of there. Speaking of which, I know just millions still without power in some of those states I mentioned already. Out there, was watching. Remember our buddy JB Bino worked for WKRG. He's at WFLA now in Tampa, and he'll come on with me sometime during storms, and maybe we'll get him on next week to talk about it. Because the Tampa area, and I was watching him, and I texted him today. The Tampa area was, of course, in the northeast quadrant of Helene, from down at Citrus County, and then up. You know, you've got down to Tampa, and all that going through up to Perry, Florida, where the landfall was, that, you know, that right hook, right? The right shoulder of Helene is of any hurricane, usually the worst out there. And so Tampa, which was not a direct hit, but of course was on the tough side of it, says here, and I heard them reporting down there, they received up to 7 or 8 feet of storm surge in Tampa. And I know a lot of y'all have been to Tampa. Maybe some of y'all are from there, moved here. I know they're Just when I've said stuff about Tampa in the past, I've gotten texts. So those of y'all down there, or those of you familiar with what it layout down there, 7 feet of storm surge is significant in a place like Tampa. Now, you look north, some other places, I mean, Cedar Key and on up there, which is a cool little town. Cedar Key, a cool place. And Cedar Key, oddly enough, has some relief. Some, those of y'all been there know what I'm talking about. Before you get down there on the waterfront, there's some sand hills, right, of probably pretty significant elevation, pretty with the live oaks in there and all that. It has some relief. Now, back behind it, I say behind it, back to the east, I guess, back towards the mainland, it's real flat, like so much of that area of Florida. But you get down to Tampa, and there's just large, large areas of it that I don't know what's, you get a high tide and 7 feet of storm surge there, what that means. I'm seeing video out there, big city here, Tampa, with water still sitting all around in Tampa. Speaking of which, too, I saw a neat story. I'm going to put this on the Twitter feed. Or X. When is it going to be when I... Because you start off calling it Twitter, and eventually we'll call it X, but when do we do the handoff? I don't know. But on that feed, at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter/X, a story from down in Tampa about Tampa General Hospital. And you may say, why do I care about... Okay. Well, number one, it's an important thing, obviously, during a hurricane or any emergency. But how they protected it. I think this is interesting. If you'll look at this story, for places maybe even in our downtown, which is flat, right? The general downtown area until you hit the ridges, and we have. Y'all have got to see this. I know this is one of the places where radio doesn't do what it needs to do. And it you'll need to see the pictures as well. But they have something called, and maybe you've seen something like this. I had never seen it before, called an aqua fence. So they put this thing up, and if your city leadership, anywhere, Mobile or anywhere that has some flat sections, has some lower elevation and things you need to protect, it is a fence you put up with, and it's secured to the ground, that holds the water back. It's kind of like easy to put up, probably is not the right word. Anybody who put them up, they'd probably want to smack me in the head. But it's like a cofferdam. Like you see when you're working in marine work and all that, but it's not metal. It's rubberized plastic, it looks like, and it's held back with stanchions. It's really something neat here. I just never seen this, so I put it up on the Twitter so you can look at it. It is a aqua fence, something completely new to me. We learn new things every day. That's one of them. What's next? Well, we'll get more from Dr. Bill coming up. He is watching something in the Caribbean. Looking at things in the Atlantic, it seems like I don't know how the actual stats in front of me, but it does feel like we get more in the second half of hurricane season than we used to. Maybe that's just what the local impacts have been here, but there's still more to watch out there, and we'll check in with him and make sure you get the latest on that when there's something to talk about. All right, 343-0106 for the phone and the text line. Let me go through a few of these texts here. Oh, and by the way, Leanna just checked in from right through the semi-permeable, not real soundproof wall between where she is and I am. And she said she put the video up on the Facebook page of the aqua fence. I know there's so much tragedy and destruction to talk about, and we can. It was just one of those things that stood out to me where I went, I've never seen that before. It's pretty interesting. So, yeah, check it out on the Facebook page or the Twitter feed. Glenn says, my daughter lives in St. Pete, but stayed in Tampa last night, lost power, but fared pretty good. No damage. Her place in St. Pete only had one window damage, no flooding. She lives 10 minutes from the beach. So St. Pete probably fared a little bit better. Is the elevation higher there, Glenn? Because I'm looking at this video. I guess it's downtown. I guess it's downtown Tampa. And it was surprising to see the amount of water that was in downtown Tampa. Maybe not surprising because it's a fairly flat area. But yeah, those areas, that weren't the impact point, which I think was Perry, Florida. Still got a lot of damage on that west coast of Florida up there. So we said yesterday, I know it's very early, but if there are groups here, your church group, civic group, whatever, organizing to help out people in Florida, let us know so we can help you with getting the information spread for drop-off points and volunteers needed and all that kind of stuff. We're here to do that, so let us know at 343-0106, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Coming up in just about 13 or 14 minutes, AL1's Congressman Jerry Curl. Lots to talk about with him. He will join us right now. The senator, and also the president and vice president of Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, Ron, joins us for a update here on precious metals. Hey, Ron.
How you doing, sir? Yes, great day. A lot of people are coming in and taking advantage of a slight dip profit. A lot of institutions did profit taking overnight. So not a huge dip in gold. It's still over 2,600 an ounce. Silver's right about close to 32. And we have lots of stuff on sale because with, you know, prices up, a lot of people have been profit taking. So lots of supply and lots of demand. But we have so much, we're offering deals on 10-ounce bars, 100-ounce silver bars, as well as fractional gold. Half-ounce and quarter-ounce that we have lots of, a few tenths.
You got my attention, too, when I guess it was last week or the week before we started talking about fractional gold, because it's good if you already got it to hear those high premiums on gold. But if you're just getting in, you may say, you know, Ron, I just don't have $2,300 to drop today or something like that. You can get in at lower amounts.
Oh, yeah, just over what a one-ounce premium would be while supplies last. So we've just been buying so many tenths, like the tenths, quarters, and half. Save people a lot of money. And 100-ounce bars, we've got quite a few left here where people can get them less than a dollar an ounce over spot. So, I mean, it hasn't been that cheap in a long time, Sir Sean.
Okay. And I know this is out of my league, but I'm speaking as there are responsible people out there that even before Halloween hits, we'll start thinking about their Christmas shopping. Silver rounds, I know, are always very popular. If people want to make sure they get what they want and get them engraved, maybe not a bad time to get it done now.
Oh, absolutely. The Christmas rounds were shipped yesterday. They were next day, so we should have them today. We already had people coming in yesterday wanting to pick out. So starting, I would say, be safe. Come on by Monday. We should have the whole display out. We have a lot of designs that sold out really quick last year, and we weren't able to get more. We bought them ahead of time.
All right. Tell folks how to find you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown. They can call shop 251-725-1590 or check us out on the web at mobilebaycoins.com.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, John.
All right. There goes Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Go check them out. Let me grab a couple texts here. I was something else I put in my notes. The second part of this is we got the damage to number one most important. I know it's shocking, but you'll see the social media stuff, and I'm happy. I don't want puppies and kitties to get hurt. But number one on my list are human beings. The rescue attempts here for human beings that are out there. But yes, the critters. You see this on the critter thing, there's probably more attention. I don't know why we do this. Once again, I like both dogs and cats. I like them. I like animals. But there's a story about this guy in a sailboat that they had to go rescue off Clearwater. And it's like, the dog is the star of the thing. And people are like, yeah, the dog was saved. Everybody's like, hooray. And they said, also the person. But this guy, like, maybe he watched Forrest Gump one too many times and said, listen, here's how I saved my sailboat. I go out into the deeper water and let the hurricane pass, and didn't work for him. I wonder how many more of those stories. The videos and pictures I see of the boats in the road on the Florida coast is amazing. The people that just, I guess, left them in the lift and, you know, if you think the storm surge is getting to 15 feet, you think you'd take it out of there. But this story about the dog here, and he also had a person with him, says headline here, new footage shows dramatic moment. The sailor and his dog were rescued 20 miles off Florida after their boat sank in Hurricane Helene. It said dramatic footage emerged of the rescue mission after companions found themselves in a perilous situation when their 36-foot vessel became disabled and taking on water in the Gulf of Mexico. Facing the wrath of Helene, the sailor sent out a distress call picked up by U.S. Coast Guard Air Station Clearwater before they were forced to jump into the raging seas. Well, it's going to be something. With the storm bearing down, Coast Guard crews raced against time to reach the man located 25 miles offshore from Sanibel near Fort Myers. And they rescued him and the dog, or the dog and him. Depends on how you look at it. But I'll put this one up, too. It's got a lot of people out there talking about the dog and the person that happened to be with the dog during the deal. We're lucky that dog was there to save the man. Put it that way. All right, text line here. The damage in. Okay, yeah, I don't. People are asking here about. I have not seen St. Mark's, and I will look for some of that. You've got that area of Florida now. That would be still right there near the storm, way too near the storm not to get damaged, but at least on the west side. Port St. Joe, St. George Island, all that area there. I'm sure we'll be getting pictures from there. And that's probably one of the areas I would imagine that we will have some connection to around here. That there'll be relief efforts going there. Usually when relief efforts come, there's a church that has a sister church or something that makes that connection. So I have a feeling maybe the closer areas are the areas that we'll be tasked with helping. I don't know. But once again, if you're going to be putting together anything to take supplies to Florida, let us know so we can help you get the word out. Also, tomorrow, the game is on. I saw this discussion, actually, that you and I have been having, I guess, all week, get picked up elsewhere. Will the crowd there at Bryant-Denny boo Senator Tuberville? Well, I hope not, because I think what will happen there is national media will pick it up and say, oh, look at that. People in Alabama don't like Tuberville. But we all know what it would be about. But also, I did see this. You remember asking this question because I guess it was on Wednesday. We were talking to Cameron Smith, and he's going to the game. I said, how long do you have to get there beforehand for security? Look at this. Okay, so you've got the kickoff. It's 6:30, right? 6:30 game. So the campus road closures, 2:30. It seems, is that normal? I don't know if that's normal. Gates are open at 4. I'm trying to look through this because with having former president and candidate for the presidency, Donald Trump there, who is now just in the last, if y'all had noticed, last month and a half had two plots against him to kill him. How they're going to, it's just like Dalton was playing the audio this morning of a member of Congress who was a retired Navy SEAL, urging President Trump not to go do the second event at Butler. I understand the why he would do that, but this guy's saying, yeah, maybe that's not the best idea security-wise. I don't know about him going to the, how do you secure the entirety of Bryant-Denny Stadium? I don't know. I don't know, but there must be. I was looking. I'm just thinking there's got to be some kind of extra security. You can't go right in the game, something like that out there. If you're going, let me know if you've heard anything. If you're going to the game tomorrow, have you heard you have to get there extra early, do anything different than normal to get into Bryant-Denny? Because you have two senators there as well. So we'll be watching for that. We'll talk to Congressman Jerry Carl here in just a second. And one of the things I want to talk about, too, is what has come out today. Speaking of Butler, in Butler, Pennsylvania, and the attempted assassination, the hitting of Donald Trump there in Butler, that the quick response by the counter-snipers, right, the Secret Service counter-snipers that has been discussed, figures in with the story, of course, today. Although I do feel like we were ahead of this. How long was I talking about, hey, the FBI came out and said there's a Iranian backed assassin in the country trying to kill Donald Trump and I think John Bolton and Pompeo and went down the list. That the reason that counter snipers were there because they were worried about the Iranians or the someone associated with the Iranians trying to kill Trump at that event. And if it wouldn't have been for, in a weird way, if it wouldn't have been for the threat from the Iranians, they would have gotten what they wanted. This came, Merrick Garland did a pressure today. A lot of the information's already been out, but we'll talk about some of that. But it's interesting. So the idea is Secret Service, they're saying they didn't have the manpower, you know, whatever. We've seen the failures there. But that they did bring the counter-sniper team because they hadn't yet caught everybody they thought could be associated with this Iranian assassination attempt in the country. Therefore, their presence here, not Secret Service, they had the counter sniper team that ended up killing the guy who would have given the Iranians what they wanted. I may be just running off too little sleep last night, or the only one to think about that, but your thoughts on that as well. We'll ask that of Congressman Jerry Carl when we come back. That and a whole lot more right here on Midday Mobile.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The Israeli military says it has carried out a precise strike on the central headquarters of Hezbollah in Beirut. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has told world leaders at the United Nations that his nation will continue degrading Hezbollah until its objectives are met along the Lebanon border. He says his government will no longer tolerate daily rocket fire from the area. Emergency crews rushing to rescue people trapped in flooded homes after Helene roared ashore as a powerful Category 4 hurricane in Florida. The system generated a massive storm surge and knocked out power to millions of customers in seven states. At least 21 people reported dead in four states. The Dow up 189 points, but the NASDAQ is losing 72. This is SRN News.
Been witnessing troubling signs that we're on the cusp of a major economic bust. High inflation, growing national debt, and global uncertainties are all flashing warning signals. Are you prepared for what's coming next? I'm Lance Wall now, a Christian news analyst. And the Bible tells us that the wise man sees danger coming and takes precautions. By diversifying into gold with my trusted friends at Birch Gold Group, you can protect your God-given assets through both stable and turbulent times. Gold has been a trusted store of value for thousands of years, weathering economic storms that have wiped out other forms of wealth. Here's the best part. With the help of Birch Gold, you can convert your 401k or IRA to a gold IRA, tax-free and penalty-free. To learn more, text the word FAITH to 989898 for a free info kit on gold. Take the next step to secure your financial future before these warning signs turn into a full-blown crisis. Text FAITH to the number 989898 now for your free gold IRA info kit. Birch Gold Group is the only company I trust. There's no obligation. So text FAITH to 989898, and I pray this information helps you achieve prosperity.
Mahindra of Mobile, the area's authorized dealer of Mahindra, the official tractor of Tough. See Mahindra's full line, subcompact to utility tractors, and save big at Mahindra of Mobile. 5245 Hamilton Boulevard in Theodore. Visit MahindraofMobile.com.
FM Talk 1065, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
Well, expect sunny skies this afternoon with temperatures in the mid-80s. Tonight, clear, lows in the upper 60s. And then tomorrow, sunny, with afternoon readings in the upper 80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 1065.
FM Talk 1065, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
We're going abroad for the first time in years to Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Contests on FM Talk 1065 are open to persons 18 years of age or older. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Void where prohibited by law. Unless otherwise stated, all prizes must be claimed in person at FM Talk 1065 studios during regular business hours. All prizes must be claimed within 14 days of winning. No substitution is permitted, and for all prizes with a value over $600, winners must complete a prize claim form. Present a valid Social Security number and will be issued an IRS Form 1099 for the fair market value.
value. Winners are responsible for all applicable title and registration fees and any state, local, and federal taxes. FM Talk 1065 WAVH, their employees, owners, and agents are not responsible for liabilities arising directly or indirectly from the award or use of the prize. Bigler Broadcasting reserves the right to revise these rules at any time. For a complete copy of the FM Talk 1065 official contest rules, visit us during regular business hours. 900 Western America Circle, Suite 106, Mobile. If you're talking about it,
they're not doing anything.
There should be a law against that.
We're talking about it.
While unemployment has dropped, so have wages.
It's Talk Southern Style on FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Cusp of a big football weekend. Maybe this makes it the right time to do this. By the way, hi, Midday Mobile. It is, I think we did it in the 1 o'clock hour last week, so let's make it work for people in the noon hour. And I'm looking for caller number 6 right now. Y'all know why? Because it's your chance to win that $100 gift certificate to Mason Hills Farm for that meat aplenty for your party coming up next weekend. Or if you want to just keep it all to yourself, that's fine. I'm not here to judge. But caller number 6 right now, my man Joey Mason puts up these $100 gift certificates each week during college football season. Caller number 6, the meat is yours. Well, the gift certificate and how you apply. I would like to hear, like, you get the gift certificate, maybe take a picture or something when you're grilling out. Send that picture to me here at the station on the text line, and we'll check it out. But good luck, caller number 6. All right, you can't win either. I can't win. Congressman, you're in studio. You can't win it. I'm going to pull that mic to you. And, nope, they're all the ones here. You see all those lights blinking? They're the ones that can win. We do not get to win the $100 gift certificate.
Darn.
I know. I mean,
can we get, like, a bite?
Yeah, you know what? Even better. I'm just asking for a picture. Congressman makes a good point. If you could bring by.
Yeah, a little piece. Just a little piece.
Just a cut of that beef for us. It'd be nice. Good to see you, sir.
Great to be here. I'm sorry I'm running a little late.
And no worries. It wasn't. Were the lights working perfectly?
No, if you'll loan me a double A battery to put in that clock in my bathroom, it'd probably make it a lot better.
Uh-huh.
It was 10:30 when I got dressed, according to that clock.
Yeah, but it was not.
No, it was 12.
Okay, well, good time.
Yeah,
good time. All so right. The lights must have worked for you. So that's good. So much to start with. I mentioned this just because it's one of the news stories I was looking at, and I wanted your reaction. And I'm not saying nobody's put this together, but. And Merrick Garland had a presser earlier, but the fact that the Iranian threat, the assassin that was, and I think the man was actually Pakistani national or whatever, but working for the IRGC, because he was in the country, and I know the FBI director had talked about it, and I'd been talking about it for like 6 months, but it was like a story that just didn't, it came up and seemed to go away. I bring it up once in a while. But the fact that there was this Iranian assassin or assassins, you know, in the country, seems to me, from what the Secret Service is saying, is the only reason they had the counter-sniper team there in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Which...
Is that not... I mean, what would have happened...
Yeah.
So, in a weird way, the Iranians didn't get what they wanted because they were trying to get what they wanted.
But there's 13,000 known murderers that are in the U.S. that have come across the border illegally. It could be any one of those. And we've very early on started complaining about Trump's security group. Last time I saw him, which was in Montgomery, I met his
you
plane.
You said this. Y'all listen to this.
I thought he just had private people hired. I didn't realize that was actually government funded. I just thought it was private people.
How many people? Because you stopped and talked about this last time. It did not seem adequate.
It may have been 4 people.
And of 4 course, people.
Yeah, you can always tell when they're packing. You get used to, you know, seeing how they carry their sales. But there were 4 people, and I thought they were private contractors, is what I thought. And we all started complaining up the chain of command on that. So,
in this
new CR, there's money there to finance 100% security of what he and all presidential candidates need.
Yeah, I worry about that. I think it was.
Of course, it's one-time money. It won't go in their budget next year.
Right, like $230 million or something like that was in the CR for Secret Service. And this is one of these, it's tough for me, because y'all in the House, you hold the purse strings. That's how this thing works. And to apply pressure to departments, that's how y'all apply pressure. You know, if they won't take your phone call or whatever, you can just not, you know, you can say, well, you're not going to get the appropriate money you did before. Problem is, here we got Secret Service. has got this critical role that's already failing. So, the normal world, if it wasn't the Secret Service, I'd say, Congressman, tell them you're not getting money until y'all tell us how you're, why this is so screwed up. But in this case, if they don't get money, then it's more than
it's a catch 22. We have a very short window.
Yeah.
We got to keep him protected as well as Harris. We got to keep them both protected.
Yeah, and I agree.
And
anybody who would be, the same way the Biden administration absolutely drugged their feet when given RFK Jr. any protection.
But, it's typical government bureaucracy. The way to fix it is more money, always more money. We need more money to hire more people to do more jobs. And I hope Trump, when he does get in office, and we've had this conversation, not he and I directly, but through the chains that, we're going to start focusing on some of this bureaucracy. I mean, we're just overloaded with people. I mean, you look at the increase of people that are hired that Biden loves to brag about. Those are government jobs.
Oh, yes.
Last thing we need is more government jobs. We need smaller government, not larger government.
If I'm I would say right-size the government, what drives me is fiscal conservatism and right-sizing government. But I'm also not naive to think that if you go through and start letting people go from government jobs, that there's not this huge pushback. So I wonder if you just cut the pipeline off and not have so many new hires.
New hires is the answer.
Yeah, just don't have so many new hires.
Start downsizing, using what you got. Is that
realistic, or is that just us?
Any business will tell you when it's just like an engine. You're cutting your grass on the lawnmower,
mm-hmm.
and you hear that lawnmower go, and it mm-hmm. starts running real fast. You run it very lean. It's running mm-hmm. out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way with people. The more you can cut back and the more responsibility you give them and the more praise you give them, the better job you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Not hiring another person to sit in there with them so they can compare their 401ks and stuff like that and get mad because the other one's got more money. I mean, people will do the job if you give them the responsibility to do it. I've got confidence in the American people. But in the government in Washington, it's just more people on top of more people, on top of more people, on top of more people, more money. But anyway, so that Mark Green, who's over that committee, they've done a fantastic job of picking that shooting apart. They've made their release on part of it. I know they're holding some of it back for whatever reason. I guess they're trying to verify some stuff. But it's a sad scenario, but I'm glad we've got it under control at this moment. And you're talking about the Alabama game?
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the Alabama game. I had tickets before he went.
Okay, so what's it? Have they talked? Because I don't have tickets.
Oh, my Lord. They sent me a long list of stuff that's going to be for us. Just apply. Because there will be 20, 25 congressmen there.
Wow.
So it's going to be a who's who of elected officials there.
So, because I got to think of the way they do security at a Trump event now, or stuff I've gone to in the past, the stuff that's been here in Mobile, the way they did security back then. How do you do that at Bryant Denny?
Obviously, it's going to be clear bags. It's going to be dogs. It's going to be those sniffing machines that they have, as well as the dogs, and just a flood of security that will be there. For us, we have got A Street. We're coming down. We're given A code. That they will review that code. They have a place for us to park. I mean, they're securing our safety too. But there's congressmen coming in from Oklahoma, and of course all of them from Georgia will be there. Mm-hmm. All from Alabama will be there. I've got my grandson with me. I don't want to get caught up in all that mess. So
right.
I hope I get a nice quiet seat with a hot dog.
What did Trump say? He's going to have McDonald's filet of fish with cheese, hot dogs, and I think a Domino's pizza.
Hey, at Bryant Denny Stadium, he's going to get what he wants.
Okay. Coming right back. More with Congressman Carl right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday will be on this Friday in studio, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl. He's in town long enough to turn around and go to T-Town.
That's right.
For the game.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, Roll Tide. Roll. Yeah, I've asked this question a couple times this week because I may be a problem starter. But if when the Jumbotron starts panning and there's Senator Tuberville,
I don't think they'll boo him. I just wonder.
I mean, and I'm graduate of the University of Alabama, fan of the University of Alabama. I would know better, but you know, a couple, five or six drinks over the day over Gillette's or something. People, and then what I would see is mainstream media would pick it up, and we'd hear somebody on CNN going, "People in Alabama are not satisfied with the conservative leadership. Listen to them boo at the game." You'd be like, "Nah, that's about football."
Yeah, but, yeah, it's all about football in Alabama. I said Tommy wasn't going to get reelected. Or he was not going to get elected because of the Alabama fans. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah.
You know, they were able to separate their football from their politics, which is a good thing. It's a good thing.
It has been a good thing.
Yeah.
A lot more to talk about here. Looking at, you know, your dedication since the word go, even before the attack of almost a year ago of Hamas against Israel, you've always been a big supporter of Israel. I look at it now, and here's my worry, Congressman. There are another 30,000 troops going to the region. This is me as a constituent. One of your constituents, I fear they were putting so many people in theater in general that it's too easy for them to be attacked and therefore bring all of us into a wider regional war.
And I don't disagree with you, and I'm against sending any of our troops into combat.
I know everybody says that, and I know you believe it, but it seems like Washington is going, yeah, we don't want to do that, but let's put a bunch of people in the area.
Well, that's Biden's way of you know, trying to show his strength. Trump would show it in so many other different ways.
Mm-hmm.
We should have sent, you know, we held some weapons up for them and for Ukraine. Whether mm-hmm. you're for or against Ukraine, they're still holding Ukraine weapons up.
Well, I've told you before, I'm for Ukraine. Yeah. I'd love them to win. I'm just not for endless billions of dollars. Like, if it's our pick 'em, I pick the Ukrainians. I would like them to win. But at a certain point, like you've said, you can't keep.
We've got so many needs here. We have so many needs here that we need money. We're spending money we don't have.
And we have been spending money we don't have for long.
When do we stop? And everybody says, well, you're on appropriations. Y'all are spending. There's some things we have to do to keep this country afloat and moving. And we're only about, the appropriation only handles about 6 or 8% of the total budget. I mean, most of the budget is already preset. I mean, SNAP programs, so on and so forth. All that stuff, all those social programs are set. So, you know, you say, well, appropriations did this, appropriations did that. We did very little. We did our job this year, but you know, we handled very little of that money. It's already set in action until Washington really wakes up and says, wait a minute, we got to look at some of these programs, SNAP just being one example, but looking at some of these programs starts curbing it back. Start trimming it back.
Yeah, you mentioned the CR that passed last week.
Right.
And that goes through December 20th. And I'm going to ask you this, because things will get attached. It's Washington's way. Things will get attached to a CR. One of them was the SAFE Act. Yeah, this idea of the SAFE Act, and it didn't, when it went up with the SAFE Act, it didn't happen, couldn't get the votes. Is there no way to get that pushed across? I would pillory the left with this and say, y'all say that nobody's doing this, then you don't care if we pass a law that makes sure that just citizens vote.
Sean, we passed the SAFE Act. It is stuck in the Senate. We put a second SAFE Act, exact same bill, on with the CR, and it fell from our own members.
That's what I'm getting at. So why can't y'all get that across the finish line?
So we take that out. We send the same CR package without that SAFE Act, and other people voted against it because it didn't have the SAFE Act. You're going to send the same thing up there. They're going to strip that out. Senate will strip that out, and they'll send it back to us as a finished product without the SAFE Act. So we've got to finance this country. We've got to pay our debts. We have to pay our folks in the field. We've got two possible wars going at any given time. We've got an election coming up, and people are screaming, shut the government down.
No, I'm actually with you. I think it would be bad for the country and bad for politics for the Republicans.
But you can't force the government back.
No, I'm just asking, who the heck who's stopping it here? Who is not letting it go through? I'm not saying shut the government down.
Yeah.
But give me the behind the scenes. Who are those Republicans that wouldn't let the SAFE Act go through?
Some of the same ones that voted against CR too. They just don't like CR, period.
Okay.
I mean, there's a list.
So were they? They're saying they're voting against it because of the CR.
The part that bothers me the most are the ones that voted to pass it with the SAFE Act and then turn around and voted against it when it didn't have the SAFE Act with it. I mean, it's the same package. It just is minus the SAFE Act. The SAFE Act has already been passed. It's sitting in the Senate. So we're going to send it twice, and it's going to be two bills sitting in that same
tray. I got you. So with that,
don't be a hypocrite and say, okay, I believe in the money that you put together.
So that SAVE Act, this is good to talk to you because, I mean, just getting the news blurbs back here at home, it seemed like that was that first SAVE Act. But you're saying that SAVE Act has moved to the Senate.
Yes.
And this was the SAVE Act attached on this one would just be duplicate.
Same thing. Exact same thing.
Thank you for that information. I did not know that.
Yeah, so when we pulled it, they kept the CR the same as far as the money's concerned and how it's handled, and has sent. Well, that's what we voted on. But some of these people that voted against it with the SAVE Act, or I'm sorry, for it with the SAVE Act, now are against it because the SAVE Act's not in it. You're just trying to duplicate stuff. I mean.
But the SAVE Act itself.
Some people work hard to find a way to vote no.
And I know, and I'm not naive. I know the SAVE Act stuck in the Senate, and of course would be vetoed by Biden. So,
no, it won't be vetoed by Biden. It won't. It'll go through.
What?
Oh, the SAVE Act. Yes, I was talking about CR.
Oh, the CR.
You're correctly. You're exactly right. It's not coming out of the Senate.
Right. And even if somehow magic showed up, it would be vetoed by Biden. So I get that. I just want people on the record because I think it's a great way to say, all right, for the left, you know, that says that there's no, and I don't obsess my whole time on voting, you know, but this one's so clear and plain.
As voting against the SAVE Act. They're on record as voting against it, talking about the Democrats.
Yes.
And I think there were three that crossed over that agreed with it.
Did I miss something in it that was, I mean, to me, the way my reading, it says to vote in a federal election, you have to be an American citizen.
Show an ID.
Yeah. I'm waiting. Where's the point? Because commentary from Chuck Schumer the other day said the poison pill.
The law. Why are we voting for it?
Then if it is, and there's no, like I've debated with Democrats since then, I'm like, well, then if it's not a thing that's going to affect anybody, then why not just let them pass it?
Well, it's typical Washington. We're playing tennis. We're just knocking the same ball back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. At the end of the day, the CR passed. We did get it. Senate zipped it right on to the president. We'll keep things until December, and you'll hear all these same arguments over again.
Yeah.
It's not District of Columbia. It's not D.C. It's called Drama City.
That's what D.C.
It's all about drama.
I learned incorrectly
in my
school. I want to ask this. I was watching a video of you on Twitter or X the other day, and this is a subject that has come up. I know Mayor McMillan's talked about it. People have talked about it. And then to hear a discussion of what we've talked about locally, the Spanish, which is good. You're
I got him backed in a corner.
The Spanish Fort. So Congressman's on. You have DeJoy.
Yeah,
right?
DeJoy, yeah.
You're talking to him over the Postal Service.
Postmaster General.
And ask him about the
Spanish Fort Post Office,
and he essentially said what they couldn't afford this is the same federal government y'all that we've talked about. They couldn't afford the rent for the Spanish Fort Post Office. Is
Which
that what I heard?
Consists of one lady passing by there once a day and stuffing boxes that were in the in this little strip mall.
Y'all got to go see this on Twitter.
Yeah,
I'll repost it.
But so I'd had this conversation with him before. I'm the only one that's nice to him. Everybody else is tearing him apart.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a long time ago you can catch more flies with sugar than you can salt. So
yes.
I'm nice to him. He and I, we have a cordial conversation. Last time he said he would look into it. So this time, the one that's actually being that you're referring to, I just put him on the spot and said, okay, where are we at on this? And he told me, he said it was a cost issue, and he has a budget, and he can't go outside that. So I said, if I can find you a place within your budget, can we get a post office? And he said, yes. So
we'll go right now. We'll go down there, and I'll find you a place.
I said, send the person I need to find it, and I'll get the business community there, and we'll do it. So he's supposed to do it. I've already Mayor sent me a note saying, consider it done. We'll find them a spot, and we'll do it. I mean, it's just one of the things when I got elected over the first time, that's all Mayor McMillan asked me. He says, you help me get a post office, and that man has fought tooth and toenail for that post office, and I have too, but he lives it every day.
It was just something. When y'all go watch the video, I put it up at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter, or you can go straight to the Twitter feed, the X feed for Congressman Carl, and see it. But it after all these conversations about how much money we're talking about, and money to Ukraine, and all these things. Mr. DeJoy to sit there and say, you know, it's just too much money for the rent in Spanish Fort, Alabama. And it gave me pause.
But the folks in Spanish Fort are what we're talking about here. It's their identity.
Yes, but it's also de minimis compared to the other stuff that they have no problem spending money on.
I know. They're talking about billions for electric vehicles and And I truly believe the man is trying. He's trying to get that spending under control. And yet, I don't know if it's in that clip or not, but you know, I also asked him what a true postage stamp should cost.
Yes, I did not hear that.
He originally said somewhere around $1.25, but he cut that back to $1.04 is what their actual cost is. We, the taxpayers, subsidize that. We're going to have losing things in the government, but we've got to control as much as we can and not lose on stuff where we don't have to.
Right. Can you hold on?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to come back after the news here. Have the Congressman hold over with us. Congressman Jerry Curl right here on Midday Mobile.